You'll have to listen quick tonight. I have a few pages here, and I want to make sure we don't get them out of order, because then it won't make any sense. Father, we praise you. We thank you for that word that was given. We thank you that you always have us on your heart. And I thank you, Father God, that tonight's anointing will bring forth the fruit of what we have been teaching on, triumphing over fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you will recall, our main scripture is 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God, say it with me, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That means a calm and well-balanced mind. And so you've heard all the things that are going on. And I heard what said another shooting somewhere. But I want to share this. I'm squeaking up here. I saw this on a YouTube, and I thought it'd be a good example for tonight. There were four hoodie guys that came into a jewelry store, and they were running with their pillowcases and grabbing the case, the jewelry, and throwing it in. And people were in the store, and they were ducking, and the workers were ducking. And here comes this little old grandma. She's packing, you know, and she's going after them, and they're running out. They can't even get the door open. They're on top of each other pushing the door when it's supposed to be pulled. And I thought that was a good example of someone who didn't have fear. So, you know, we cannot tolerate fear in our lives. We cannot let it in. The master terrorist, Satan, came into Americans' lives on 9/11. And ever since that day, his plan has been to terrorize. Well, it was from the beginning, but even now in America, we're finding that true. His plan is to lock us up in a box of fear, and then in our homes or wherever we go, and then lock us up in a closet. I'm not talking about our prayer closet. Okay, that's where I release my faith for God to move and to release any fears that might be trying to envelop me. And so Jesus came to set us free, right? And he did set us free. He delivered us totally, completely. We are the church, are we not? We are the ones that are responsible for enforcing what Jesus has already purchased and provided for us. And that is our triumph over fear and all the other kind of things that the devil would try to put on us. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. So we've talked a lot about fear and different aspects of it. And tonight I want to start sharing with you, I think, keys to staying free. Because once you're free, you want to stay there, don't you? You don't want to go backwards. Everything in this book is forward. It's not backwards. God doesn't go backwards. He goes forward. Now, he did stop the earth, I guess, once to make the sun look like it was going backwards or whatever. 1 John 3:21. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, I always like to hear that from God, my Father. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if you are living in the Word, by that I mean you are reading the Word on a consistent basis, and then you are walking in love, because this book is a love letter to us. So if you're reading the Word, you are walking in love. If you're walking in love, then you're walking in the right direction. And if you're walking in the Word, then you're talking right. If you're walking in the Word, you're acting right. And then you can know that you have victory over whatever comes against you, because God's Word is true. Romans 8:31. There is now, therefore, or therefore now, no condemnation, no blame or disapproval to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, which happens to be our five senses, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Because we are born of God, His covenant is on the inside of us. And so we are world overcomers. Say, I'm a world overcomer. Okay, His faith is in us, isn't it? The victory that overcomes every challenge, especially fear. So what else do we have to do? We have to speak what God says. When fear comes knocking at your door, don't open it. Don't speak that fear out. Instead, if you have a rebuke up there and recognize the five R's on the screen, there it is. First you recognize it, you reject it, you rebuke it, you replace it, and then you go, hallelujah, it's taken care of. Praise God. So when you hear that there's a shooting in a school somewhere, you want to scream, you want to shout, you want to cry, especially if you find out it might be where your children are going. But if you have been making the confession of faith over your children, drawing a bloodline and saying the devil cannot cross that bloodline, they are free in Jesus' name, then when you hear that word, you don't give into it. You say the words that you have been saying, hopefully. My children are surrounded with angelic protection. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. The blood of Jesus covers them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. And they are safe because they hide under the shadow of the Almighty. The name of Jesus, the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, those are the most powerful weapons that we have to defeat fear, to defeat sickness, to defeat financial crisis, all weapons formed against us. So when you learn that there's an attack in the mall or a store, you need to keep your heart in the word, so it can come out of your mouth instead of trying to envelop you. Your mind cannot think two things at the same time. So if you're thinking fear on one side, you can't be thinking faith on the other. And if you're thinking faith, there's no room for fear. Amen. Thank you. Fear is your worst enemy. The only way the word will come out is if you put it in. It doesn't happen by putting your Bible under your pillow. It doesn't happen by the Bible sitting on your table there for everybody to see that you're a Christian. You know, you got your Bible out. No, it comes by putting this word into your heart, so when a crisis occurs, it comes out of your mouth. Joshua 1:8 says, don't for a minute let this book of Revelation get out of your mind. Ponder, meditate on it day and night. I have, 4 different CD players or DVD players, and I try to have the Word of God on each one of them in each of the different rooms, so that my house is saturated with the Word of God. Then I have one in my car, and that's the Message Bible. So that goes, and I'm saying, oh, you know, I never thought of that that way. That's good. And so the word can come in through your ear gate, and so can the lies of the devil can come in through your ear gate. But Joshua said, practice everything that's written here. Practice this. And he said, strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step of the way. Amen. So another point is stay in right standing with God. Stay in the light of his presence. There's a battle raging in the heavenlies between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the devil likes to make you think that he's winning. But we know that he is powerless over us unless we yield to him with our authority. And so he wants you to think there's no hope for this world. There's no hope for America. There's no hope for your family. There's no hope for your relationships. You'll never find anybody. You'll never have any kind of financial peace in your life. It's a lie, lie, lie. Because I read this book, and this book doesn't say anything like that. It has positive words, not negative words. What about the times that you miss the mark? You know what I mean? You don't hit the bullseye. You hit somewhere outside. You sin. It may not be anything big, but sin is sin. It's lawlessness. It's against the commandment of God. And so what happens when that occurs? I don't know about you, but I suddenly feel ashamed. I feel ashamed that I missed it. I feel guilty if I've missed it. But if I condemn myself, it's like I'm beating myself up. And that causes you to stay away from church members, causes you to stay away from prayer with God. You can condemn yourself, or you can go to God. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that when we are in sin or we make a mistake, what we have to do is to confess it. Say confess. I mean, it's not like you're surprising God in the first place. He knows what you've done. He knows what's in your heart. And so if you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've had times where, you might not believe this because most of you think I'm perfect, but don't tell, Pastor. Yeah, don't you tell. But I've missed it. And it has grieved me so much. I go into my closet, which is a real closet, by the way, but it's big. And I throw a shawl over my head and I start praying and asking for forgiveness, and the next thing you know, the tears are coming, and I'm so, oh, I'm so sorry, God. And then I hear, it's okay. You're forgiven. You're back in fellowship with me. You're not out of fellowship anymore, because that's what happens. You don't lose your righteousness, but you can lose your fellowship when you're not abiding in the Word and with Him. Now, there is a spirit of oppression that tries sometimes to come. And the spirit of oppression is like one thought comes in and you don't get rid of it overnight. So on top of that comes another similar thought. And so that one's there and you don't get rid of that one either. And sooner or later, there's going to be a pileup of these fears or sins that have become put in the soil of your mind. Your mind is the soil, and that's where the battlefield is, in your thought processes. So when they layer on top of each other, they begin to avalanche. And that's when you have this oppressive spirit of fear. We used to do counseling a while back, and we had some people that were so fearful, they did not want to get out of the house. They could not get in the car with their spouse to drive over a bridge because they thought the bridge was going to fall. And then they wouldn't open up the door to anyone because they weren't sure who was going to be there. That is an oppressive spirit of fear. We don't have to let those thoughts hibernate or saturate our minds. Amen. Right? Am I right? Are you out there? Say yes. Amen, Hildy. Okay. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing over fear and every oppressive spirit. Jesus plundered the devil. He took his goods and all of his cohorts as a victorious army does when they conquer a country. These are Colossians 2:15 are military terms that Paul is using. And the military back then in Rome would parade their captives. They would chain them, they would tie them, and they'd parade them through the street. And the people would throw things at them, etc. But Jesus has completely subdued our enemies. We don't have to be bound. We can be free. His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension has set us free from all the works of the enemy. And so there is a complete victory that we have unless we yield to the enemy. So everything is in subjection to him, and we have not to fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Franklin Roosevelt, at a time when the country was just bombed in Pearl Harbor. And, of course, that set fear raging. And he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. So if we let fear come in, it's going to multiply. And it will create more fear. So we don't want to let that in. James 1:2, dealing with thoughts. Say, temptations will come. Don't believe for them. Trials will come. Don't believe for them. They will just automatically come because we live in a fallen world. It says, temptations come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals. Their intention is always to suck you into their energy field. However, your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. Hallelujah. Every time, because joy is the official voice of faith. If you've got joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Down in your heart, down in your heart. If you've got joy, 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 joy down in your heart. What's the rest of it, Pastor? Tuesday. Bad thoughts are going to come. You don't have to dwell on them. You have the power and the authority to resist them. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we better check this out because there's a little lump there. Well, you can have two choices. Ah, I've got cancer. Or I'll rebuke that thought. And I believe that by his stripes I have been healed, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. My righteousness is of the Lord God Almighty, and by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Right?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So don't waste your spiritual energy on trying to stop the thoughts from coming, because if the greatest man that ever walked on this earth had temptations, he didn't spend his energy trying to stop the thoughts from coming from Satan. He just turned around and reversed the curse and used the word. It is written. Hallelujah. So when you've got the word in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. I had a chair up here one night, a rocking chair, and I demonstrated worrying. Anybody here that night? And so you twist your hands and you twist your stuff and you worry about this and you worry about that. And I say, if you're going to worry, sit down in that rocking chair and meditate the word, what the word has to say. We all know how to worry, so worry the word. Just rehearse the word. Do not worry, therefore, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6, yeah. So when you're trying to fight against the thoughts, it'll tire you out. You have to take authority over it. Somebody came up to, I guess it was Dr. Hagen, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagen, and said, I want you to pray that I won't be tempted anymore and have any more thoughts from the enemy. And he said, if I could do that, ma'am, I'd do it for myself. But you can't. He is a persistent dude, and he's going to try whatever he can, whenever he can. So you recognize, refuse, rebuke, replace the fear or temptation to sin, and the written word comes out and you speak it out loud. Why? Because it puts a double whammy on the devil and the thought has to flee. I was in an elevator one time that I was in an elevator. I was working. And all the men, there were a bunch of men in back of me, and they were talking foul language, you know, in the business world. And I was up front, and I was listening to this, having to hear it. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know? And they all shut up. I figured I could have equal time. So I wasn't afraid. I was always kind of like that after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. So when these thoughts come, cut them down quickly. So you're watching then a football game, right? Rah, rah, you know, and your team is ahead. And you get up to go and you get a drink, a can of pop or something. You come back down and the commercial is on. And here comes Victoria's Secret. All over the blasted screen. And your eyes are like, I can't believe I'm seeing this, but I am seeing it. What are you going to do with that thought? What are you going to do with that image? Man, I'm telling you, you got to cut it down fast, because those flash through your mind, through your eye gates, and if you don't cut it down, they'll take root. And if it takes root, you will find yourself in deep trouble, because it will multiply. You'll be in trouble with God, and you'll be in trouble with your wife. Second Corinthians 10, 5, 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. By the way, stop strife in your home. It's deadly. It's a killer. Okay. Pull down those strongholds. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So now we have to take the next step. You can arrest those thoughts. You can say no to the television. You can say no to the commercials. You can say no to the thoughts that are going on in your head. Do you have that new? Okay, yes, that's it. There's a world system that we live in, right? Yes. And it responds through its feelings and past experiences. So if you're in the world, this is how your thought processes go. My thoughts, my feelings, and that determines my action, okay? But we are not in the world, or of the world. We are in the world. Thank you. Next one. The Christian's approach should be different. Think on these things, Philippians 4:8. My thoughts, my feelings, God's thoughts, and my actions. We do that by renewing the mind. Our job as Christians is to receive and reason by the Word of God. And so our mind wants to charge along with our feelings, you know, five senses and all. But our minds have to reason through the word and the wisdom of God. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. There was a little ditty of a song the Lord gave me a long time ago. Got three lines. The land that you walk is the land that you talk is the land that I give to you. So the land that you walk, where are you walking? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in the word? Are you walking in the world? Is the land that you'll talk. You'll begin to talk like the world or talk like God's word says. And that's the land that he's obligated to give you. I have a copy of Brother Hagin's prophecy that he gave a number of years ago when he was teaching on the name of Jesus. And I want to read some excerpts to you. But yea, come ye, saith the Lord, with an open heart and a mind that is receptive to my word. And the truth of the word of God shall dawn upon your spirit. And you shall realize that you are thoroughly furnished with all that you need to meet the enemy in combat from day to day. And so you will be victorious, not just once in a while, but every single day of your life. For you shall put the enemy to flight, and you shall enjoy victory in every fight. Some would say, oh, that's too hard to do. I tried it. It doesn't work. Well, humble thyself before the Lord and my word, and acknowledge with all sincerity thy word is truth. And I will stand upon thy word, and I will speak forth thy word, and I will pick up the name with all of its authority, all of its majesty, all of its excellence, and all of his glory, even that name that is above every name. So you need not cry out for fear, nor cry out in desperation, even though sometimes because of lack of knowledge, if you don't know what to do, he will still hear you. But you don't have to cry out. That's why we're here. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are victorious. We're not the sick. We're not the lame. We're not the defeated. He says, for Jesus has overcome with his name, with all of its majesty and glory. Today, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, hallelujah. So we are going to exercise our rights in the light of his word. Hallelujah. So this is a scripture, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, that doesn't mean I'm done. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. True. All that is agreeable to the unchangeable and eternal truth. God's word is reality. Honest, upright, decent, worthy of reverence. Just, whatever is agreeable to justice and righteousness. Pure, whatsoever is chaste in your mind and body. Lovely, that which inspires love. Think first of what you are about to say or do. Sometimes words will fly out of your mouth and you wish you could take them back, but when they're out there, they're in the atmosphere and you can't take them back. You can only apologize for them. But if you're walking in love and you're thinking first about what you're going to say or do, is it useful if I tell them something like this? Is it in love that I'm telling them? Or is it going to be harmful in the relationship, in the conversation? How about good report? Does the report agree with the word of God? Is this report that I'm hearing about so-and-so profitable? Is it worth repeating? Virtue. Is what you are going to do promote the general good of mankind? Then it's all praiseworthy. And those are the things that we are to be praising God and thinking about. So praise God. You're going to build yourself an ark of safety. When you're hidden in Psalm 91, the secret place of the Most High, live there. Get there every morning. We talked about all the protection that's in there. Teach your children and grandchildren Psalm 91. Cover them before they go out to the school bus or you drive them in the car to school. Cover them with the word of God. Place the blood over them. There is no fear in Psalm 91. Mature love. That's the kind of love that knows and understands the word of God. And when that's in there, there's no room for fear. So if you find yourself in some area that you have fear, it may be a little slight thing. It may be standing up in front of people. It may be afraid of giving money because you might not get anything back in return from God. Whatever it is, go before God. Say, Lord, this is in my heart. I thought you told me to give $10. And I was afraid to give 10, so I only gave 1. So I must have a fear of giving money to God. So God, please take it out because it doesn't belong in there. Suppose there's a fear of performance. Okay, you have to go sing somewhere or something, and you're afraid. You have to go before God, admit it, confess it, and let him remove that from you. Because that's how you get mature in the word, in love. And so when he tells you what's going on, you're to repent, rebuke, replace, and then rejoice. That's growing closer to the agape love. All doors that open to you offer your mind two choices. You're going to walk by faith or you're going to be controlled by fear. You make the choice. God already made it. You have to agree with him. So we are surrounded with opportunities to fear all day long. We have a choice. We are not the fearful, and we don't drop out, and we don't quit. Do we? No. No, we are the courageous. We are walking by faith and not by sight. We are not the faint-hearted and give up, stop praying, and quit the faith walk. No, we are the overcomers, not the overcome. We are the victors. We are not the victims. I'm going to say that again. We are the victors, not the victims. Grab a hold of the power. Grab a hold of that courage that 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us we have power, love, and a sound mind. Grab a hold of the compassion, the love of God. Ask yourself every day, am I walking in love today? Have I been compassionate with anybody anywhere? Have I done anything good for anybody? The sound mind, grab a hold of it. It's self-control, a calm, well-balanced mind. God will stand with you as you stand fast in that which you have learned and obeyed. You will not be defeated. You will not be destroyed. You will not be diminished. You will not be incapacitated in these last days that are perilous. Not when you're in the Word and God is in you and you're trusting him. Sure, troubles will come, but you can still trust in God. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. You are strong and mighty with the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God and the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I would like, with pastor's permission, to either lay hands or pray over anybody that is bold enough to say and raise their hands that they are dealing with an area of fear in their life. Is that all right? Okay. If you're dealing in an area of fear that you are aware of, I would like you to raise your hand and I will pray over you. One honest person, two honest people, two, anyone for three, anyone for four, Father, five, six. Hey, we're going. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to come up. I just want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray. We command fear to leave him. I thank you that he replaces any fear with the Word of God. And I thank you that this procedure will go perfectly. There'll be total restoration to his eyes in the name of Jesus. God, you made the hearing ears and the seeing eyes, and you made them perfectly. So we thank you that even when Moses was 120 years old, his eyes were not dim, neither were his natural powers abated. So we claim this total healing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And you, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are such a delight. The Father God has such delight in you, especially when you pray. He says, here comes my child again. And he smiles. Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke this fear that is trying to inhabit her mind. We say that her mind is fertile soil for God's word, and that no fear will inhabit her mind in Jesus' name. For she knows the word, and the word is quick and alive on the inside of her. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Almighty God, for the mighty man that he is in the spirit realm. I thank you, Father, that no weapon forced or faced placed against him shall prosper. I thank you that this fear, this little irking thing, is gone in Jesus' name. Now, devil, we confront you with the word of God that says he has been given power, love, and a sound mind. And no weapon of fear that is formed against him shall prosper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Etenene, oshe, site, akasombra, ekasombra, eche. Are you raising your hand? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up this man who has a heart for God. And I thank you right now, Father, that fear of the future, fear of finances, fear of the present day will not be able to lord it over him. For you said you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I thank you that worrying is not a part of his life. Fear is not a part of his life, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we rebuke this fear in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, everything that our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up and out in the name of Jesus. And that concerns fear. It cannot continue. It cannot abide in her any longer. You know the word knows you. And the blood of Jesus is enough to conquer this. In Jesus' name, amen. Labatete da mosete, shoda boko sambro, etenene eshete. No more trouble sleeping. You having trouble sleeping? Your mind goes and goes and goes. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, be still. She has a calm and well-balanced mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's rejoice. God is good. God is good. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.